Hey, I'm Barb. I'm an adult child, a codependent and abstinent compulsive overeater. And I also go to the Wednesday night Big Red Book meeting in New Haven, so not just the women's meeting. And today is my 5-year anniversary in ACA. So I cannot think of a better thing to be doing than spending my time giving service and carrying the message of recovery to those who still suffer, because I am of the belief that I have recovered so that I can carry the message. And it is something that I take very seriously. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And I thank all the folks in the inner group, and especially Liz, who's worked really hard to make this happen. So I am going to be talking today about promises 4 and 5. And I'm actually going to start with promise 5 because I have less to say about that and I could talk forever. So I want to leave my promise 4 open-ended. So promise 5 is, as we face our abandonment issues, we'll be attracted by strengths and become more tolerant of weaknesses. So I'm not going to spend so much time on what it was like for me growing up. I grew up in a dysfunctional family, but I was not neglected. I had all my physical needs met. I think the main thing that happened was I was just repeatedly invalidated. And I know my first 6 months in ACA, just about every meeting I made excuses for why I was there, because it was very clear to me that objectively I did not have it as bad as many people in the room. I didn't get the shit kicked out of me. I didn't get my bones broken. I didn't get raped. I didn't get burned. I didn't get kicked down the stairs, but I have the traits. And I am someone who, when I came in the rooms, I looked on the outside like I had my shit together, but not one area of my life was going well. I was over 100 pounds overweight. I had had years of problems with substance abuse and debt. I had a 19-year codependent relationship with my boss. I was estranged from my father. I had a string of dysfunctional relationships. And yet I thought that people should listen to me and that I was right and I had all the answers. And if you people would just fucking listen up, then, you know, the world would be a better place. And as a result of doing the steps, I realized how incredibly dysfunctional my life was, my upbringing was. And I came in thinking I had 7 laundry list traits, and it turns out I have 13 of them. So as the denial lifted, I started to be able to see things more and more. And for me, denial is not, I'm saying that didn't happen. Denial is, I remember things that I didn't remember before. I put things together I never saw as connected, but mainly I start to see things as dysfunctional that I didn't know were dysfunctional. They were, quote, normal to me because that's how I grew up and I didn't really know the difference. So in Promise 5, it says, as we face our abandonment issues, and for me, the worst effect of being an adult child and of the abandonment that I faced was questioning my perceptions. So is this real? Did that really happen? Wait, what am I feeling? Well, I'm not supposed to be feeling that. Like, to me, one of the worst things my dad would say to me was, do you want me to give you a reason to cry? And I was like, wait, what? I am crying. Like, what? Like, just like, especially for a little teeny kid who thinks so concretely, is like, what does that mean? I don't have a reason to cry. And, you know, questioning things like, what kind of family are we? Because we say we're this, but we're really not. But then, and also because I'm not allowed to ask questions because of that don't talk rule, I felt like I was supposed to know everything and I had to have an answer for everything. And another one, is this what love feels like? Because it's nothing like what I'm hearing in songs and reading in books and seeing in movies. And so I just had this really warped perception of, quote, reality, and just really questioned my own perceptions. And it's really hard to have a good life when you don't know what's real and what's not, and what's normal and what's not normal, and when you're faking it, you know, all the time. So the first part of this says, we will become attracted by strengths. And the second part says more tolerant of weaknesses. And in the beginning, when I read this, I had no idea what any of this meant. These words, like, I am an intelligent person. I had no idea what these words, I know what the definitions of the words were, but meaning wise, I had no idea. So the first thing that started to sink into me when it said we become more tolerant of weaknesses, the first realization I had was I became more tolerant of my own weaknesses. So that I was like, oh, okay, that's what it means. And then as time went on, I started realizing, wait, I'm also becoming more tolerant of other people's weaknesses. So in terms of being more tolerant of my weaknesses, I stopped judging myself so much. And then that meant that I stopped judging other people so much. And then by being tolerant of other people's weaknesses, I let them be weak. I didn't rescue people. And I didn't go to help people unless they actually asked me to help them. Or now I might say to somebody, can I comment on your share? I don't just dive in. And then in terms of being attracted by strengths, people who have integrity and are honest and do what they say they're going to do and have boundaries are the kind of people that attract me. It used to be chaos and drama and people with all kinds of problems attracted me because I was there to fix it because that's what I do. And now people who don't need me are the people that attract me. So now I'm going to move on to number four because this has just been so huge for me. And number four, promise four, is our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. So I will tell you that I am 57 years old, and for the first time in my entire life, I am in a healthy, loving, intimate relationship with another person. And we have been in a relationship for a year and a half. And what I say to people is, we are in love like you read about. And I didn't know that this was possible. And so I attribute all of it to my recovery. I'm in two programs, but I would say the bulk of it is ACA, which is my main program, because that's why I did all those other acting out things. So I did a little bit of note writing this morning to sort of bring my thoughts into coherence about this. And the first thing that hit me when I thought about intimacy will grow inside us, I had this sort of like visual slash feeling of something starting in the middle and growing and getting bigger and bigger inside of me. And I think that that is self-love, is what that is. And it starts and expands outward. And I start by knowing who I am. So promise one is, we will discover our real identities. I believe it should be, we will discover slash create our real identities, because it's not like I had an identity and it got covered up. It was like, I didn't even have the chance to form my real identity. So I'm still in the process of creating that, but I start by figuring out who I am and who I am not. In other words, I just said that. Sorry about that. And I also delineate my identity with boundaries. So boundaries are one of the most important parts of my recovery. I have heard it said that putting down the drink in AA is equivalent to setting boundaries in ACA. You simply cannot recover without it. You can't have ACA recovery. And so I know this works for me, that doesn't work for me. This is who I am, and this is who I am not. And so this morning when I was doing notes, I drew this image where I made the boundary of me, and then I put all these qualities in there that are me or that I aspire to. And then all of the defects of character and laundry list traits and patterns of behavior that I used to do, some of which I still act out in from time to time. But that's on the outside of me. So who I am not someone who puts herself in harm's way anymore. So one of the ways I did that was by trusting people who were untrustworthy. I also shared personal information with people who were emotionally unsafe. So I'm not that woman anymore. And by the way, those people, I blamed them. So I trusted people who were untrustworthy, they violated my trust, and then I blamed them. I shared personal information with unsafe people, and then they hurt me, and then I blamed them. Well, one of the most important things that I've learned from recovery is my part in things. And my part in things is, I was doing all kinds of shit in my life to create chaos and drama and to exacerbate the chaos and drama going on around me. And now I understand what I was doing, which, thank goodness, because that means I can stop. And then I am also not someone who abandons herself. So I used to not take care of my body, my brain, and my heart. I didn't follow through on things that I decided were important for me. And so this is on me. I'm declaring who I'm not. So those are the things that are outside of my boundary now. And I've realized that I can have intimacy because I allow myself to be vulnerable. And ways in which I allow myself to be vulnerable are by not judging myself for my vulnerability. I used to think that that was weak. And first of all, weakness is not bad, but even if I was weak, it's okay. It wasn't that I was weak. So I stopped judging myself for being vulnerable. I stopped judging other people for being vulnerable. And I just stopped judging in general. And I realized, like I've heard the saying, we're all just bozos on the bus, which means I'm no better and no worse than anyone else. And I wrote this morning, actually, we're all saints on the bus. We're all the same. Nobody's better and nobody's worse. Another way that I allow myself to be vulnerable is choosing safe people to be vulnerable with, which means I slowly build a relationship with them over time. I don't dive in the way that I used to. And when I see a festival of red flags, I walk away. I used to be like, oh, I'm either going to ignore those or I'll fix those or that'll be okay. Or if I just love them enough. And then in terms of who I am, I would say for me, a lot went into being able to have boundaries. But the number one most important part, the core of my boundaries, is I care more what I think of me than what other people think of me. Now, that doesn't mean I don't care what other people think about me. Of course I do. I just care more what I think of me. So I tell the truth now. I did a lot of people pleasing and lying and manipulating. And now I care more about my personal integrity than that you like me. And I did it because I thought if I am just this way that you'll like me. And because I have integrity, I am whole. And I can be vulnerable because I'm whole. I'm not a bunch of fragmented pieces that's shattered the way that I used to be. And that's why it was so difficult to be vulnerable, because I was in fucking pieces. And now I'm whole. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what intimacy looks like to me in my relationship. So at the very beginning of my dating relationship with this person, something happened that was unsettling to me. And that's all I could get to, was I was unsettled. And so I texted him and I said, I'm feeling unsettled because of this and I don't know what to make of it. Will you help me talk to you about this? And he responded, of course. Now that is somebody that I want to share my intimate feelings with. When I say, can you help me share the, you know, talk about this? And they say, yes. Just the other day, I drove to his house and I got really upset as I got closer and closer, because I was passing all these homeless people on the side of the road begging, no gloves, no mask. I'm like, nobody's going to give you anything. And it was just so distressing to me. And I got to his house and I said, you know, I was fine when I left, but I'm really upset because I saw this and I saw that and I saw this and I saw that. And he just like patted me and then he hugged me. And I was like, God damn, this sharing feeling things is really working for me. He didn't do anything. He didn't say, he did. He listened. That's what he did. So just knowing, like, I can just say that, because what I would have done in the past is go there and then had all these feelings, but tried to act like I have to be all, you know, happy and, you know, pretending stuff isn't happening. Another thing is I've said to him, you know, I would like us to try this new thing and I'm a little bit scared about it. So I might change my mind in midstream. So I want you to know that that might happen. And he's like, yeah, that's okay. Or, I had a situation with him where I said, listen, I'm going to tell you about something. I'm having some feelings. Nobody did anything wrong. Nobody needs to change anything. But I need to tell you how I'm feeling, because if I didn't, I would feel like there was something in between us. And I don't want the feeling that there's something in between us, because I spent my entire life in relationships putting things in between me and the other person without telling them. and then building a wall between them and then losing my shit over time. And now what's happening for me is I feel safe to share when I'm upset. And it is the most unbelievable reward you can imagine. If you don't have intimacy, I really encourage you to work towards it. So thank you for letting me share.